Welcome to the Dildork, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and I'm sick of Christmas music already. Help.
No, who are you, what? Friend? What?
Not all of it. There's some good stuff.
I haven't heard anything yet. Where are you hearing Christmas music?
You're not working retail anymore. That's why.
That was my third thing. I'm Vex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger. And this is the first time in my entire adult life that I am not working retail in December. And I am so hyped to be excited about Christmas again. No fucking idea. I love this shit. I love it so much. I know it's like capitalist bullshit, but I love it. And this is the first year I'm actually able to enjoy it and not have it also be the time my job is the hardest.
Yeah, congratulations. I am a fan of Christmas. I'm just tired of hearing the same Mariah Carey song over and over again and stuff like that. Just leave me alone with my Charlie Brown Christmas record, please.
I built my Christmas playlist a couple of days ago, but I have not started listening to it until I start baking and buying presents. And so far, I've only bought presents for my coworkers because I love them.
Cool. Getting hype.
Yes.
All right. So we're talking about holidays and gifts and gift giving and whatnot today because it's the season, I guess.
Yes.
And in particular, we're going to be talking about giving and receiving sex-related products, sex toys and whatnot, which there's a lot of ways you can do that badly.
So many ways.
Yeah.
Like most of the ways. Really.
So, Bex, is giving someone a sex toy a good idea?
Probably not, honestly. Except for the very specific circumstances where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things to consider, right? Like, who is this person in relation to you? Mm-hmm. And how well do you know their body, right? So, like, if this is a friend of yours and they don't own a sex toy and you're buying them their first one and they're, like, a close friend of yours, cool, that's great. If this is a person who you know is, like, been around the block and got a handful of toys that they really enjoy or whatever, odds are they're gonna know their body a lot better than you are, and like, you probably won't be able to find something that will work for their body as well as they could find something.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a wish list though, like,
yeah, wish lists are great for this. I often say that sex toys are sort of like porn or perfume in that they're like so personal. Like, it's very, very hard to get someone the thing that they want unless you happen to know a specific thing or you know them very, very, very well.
Yeah.
And for most people, you're not going to know them that well and you're not going to know their situation entirely. So it's a pretty hard thing to buy. But also, like, if someone does it right, it can be so good. So it's difficult for me to say, like, absolutely don't do it, you know?
Yeah, and it, like, also, I think you can get sex-related gifts that are mm-hmm. not sex toys. Because I think, we're talking vibrators and dildos, right? But I think kink gear is a lot easier to buy for other people.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get into specific product suggestions in a little bit, but
yeah.
How, if you're, like, interested in buying a sex-related item for someone in your life, and maybe, like, you know that they are open to that, but you just don't know specifically what to get them, what are some ways that you can try to figure out what might be a good thing to give them?
I mean, we're talking, I mean, it depends on your relationship, honestly. If you can get them into a shop with you,
mm-hmm.
To just kind of window shop, like, I don't know, if it's a friend of yours, and we have so many groups that used to come into the shop after, you know, going to the bar or whatever, and, like, don't be assholes, but that's a good context to get someone in that environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have it be more, like, low pressure and not let it look like you're trying to figure out what they want. if it's a partner you play with, you can talk about, like, fantasies and things like that and things to integrate. You can talk about what toys they already have and, like, what they like and don't like about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, knowing what toys they already have is a really good thing to do if you can find out that information. Because, like, I've heard a lot of people give the advice that if you're buying someone a present of any kind, that you should kind of get them something that's a little bit nicer than the version of the thing that they would buy for themselves. So, like, maybe a little bit of a nicer whiskey than they would buy themselves, or nicer, you know, warm socks than they would buy themselves or whatever, because it's kind of like something that they would like, but it's luxurious or whatever.
I really like that.
Yeah, and if you are aware of what their sex toy collection looks like, maybe you know that they have kind of like a low quality vibrator, but they really like the shape of it. So maybe you can get them like a higher quality version of a similar shape. Or if they really like realistic dildos, maybe you can get them like something by Vixkin, or like a really high end like realistic dildo company.
Yeah.
I'm curious though, what is the best sex thing someone has ever bought you?
Honestly, I probably get the most use out of the Lexan paddle that you got me. I know you got yours in the mail, and I, like, tried it the day you got yours, and then I think at the next holiday I had one or something. It just appeared.
Yeah. It's interesting how, like, impact kinksters are, in my experience, like, pretty easy to shop for, because there's so much variety in impact implements, and it's not really like dildos where, like, I have so many dildos that at this point I'm, like, pretty disillusioned with them and, like, don't really feel like I need more.
Yeah.
But impact implements, I could pretty much always have more because, like, they always all feel different from each other and they all look different from each other. So, like, yeah, there's such a wide variety of them out there.
Yeah, and, like, so, yeah, you mentioned the difference in sensation, but honestly, like, the difference in look matters a lot more to me in impact stuff than it does in, like, dildos and things.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, sure, you get the really cool colors and, like, the fantasy toys and whatever. But I get more into the fantasy of, like, interesting things to be hit with and, like, creative shit mm-hmm. that I have a lot of fun with. Like, you got me a cutting board one. I have a Mjolnir meat tenderizer that I get hit with.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, you get the fun, like, story and inventive thing of, like, you know, oh, I get to get hit with this creative thing. Like, I was telling a story earlier this afternoon about getting hit with a Bible in a hotel. You know.
Like you do.
Like you do.
Yeah, because an interesting thing about impact implements is, like, if you try to buy someone a sex toy that's made for insertion that is kind of like a novelty or a weird thing or a joke, like, it's probably not going to be super high quality and it might not even be body safe. Whereas, like, you can get people some pretty weird impact implements and they can still be, like, pretty safe to use. So yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
I would say in general, if you're shopping for a kink item, I would usually recommend looking at actual kink stores online or in person versus trying to buy some kind of, like, novelty or, like, quote-unquote beginner item or some kind of pervertible or something, because you don't have to get something super expensive from a kink store, but it is going to be higher quality and is going to be designed for actual use.
Yeah, and I would say some sex shops that have, like, beginner impact stuff, if you're going to, like, a more boutique-y one, they'll generally have, like, beginner stuff that is decent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't hate those little, like, slapper paddles, the ones that say slut on them and shit.
See, they're, I, like, do hate those.
They're, like, $15, and they're very, like, they do not hit that hard. But for someone who is literally walking in and being, like, you know, what, like, I have no idea on impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think they're the worst thing in the world. And they make a loud slap because they have the extra layers, so you get to, like, they get to sound impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
my issue with those for someone who's very, very new to impact play is that those types of toys tend to be very stingy. And I know people who, including myself, who, like, didn't really like stingy sensations and then didn't realize that they were actually into impact until they started exploring thuddy sensations. So I tend to err on the side of getting someone something that's a bit thuddier, just because, like, in my experience, most people are into thuddier sensations, but not everybody.
What like, low-cost thuddy stuff have you seen?
So actually, a wooden cutting board is a great example. I know I said don't get them pervertibles, but, like,
I find cutting boards to be so stingy.
If you get, like, a thick, kind of heavier wood one, then they aren't necessarily. I also, my local kink shop here, Kink TO, has some, like, wooden bats. They look like little mini baseball bats, and they're usually in the range of, like, $50 to $60, which is not too bad. And typically they have like maybe a couple different ways you can use them. Like one of them that I have, you can hit with the side of it like you would normally, or you can kind of hit with like the end of it because it's flat. So you get a couple different sensations that way.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously your fist, but I'm trying to think of any other like thuddy stuff under 20. Because, you know, a lot of beginner stuff, they want to get something that like... If they're getting beginner kink gear, they're usually getting something to look edgy under the Christmas tree, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times they don't want to put a ton of investment into it.
Mm-hmm.
At least the people that came into my shop, generally. We used to get white elephant people all the time. and I always sold them, if they wanted to be really wild, I sold them a crop and a blindfold, which combined is under the $25 to $30 minimum they usually are. If they were feeling more tame, I would sell them a massage candle and lube. Every time.
Good advice.
Yeah.
I think the best sex gift I've ever gotten, well, there's actually two. One of them is one that you gave me, which is the S-Curve dildo by Standard Glass. And I think what was important there is, like, you knew my tastes very well. So you knew that was a dildo that was going to, like, hit spots that I like, and also was a color I like and a material I like. Like, you were just very aware of my ideal sex toy parameters. So that was good. Also, last Christmas, my partner bought me the Doxy No. 3 wand, which was literally just, like, on my wish list. Like, I had been talking about how much I wanted that specific toy. And that's, you know, it is best to buy someone a specific one that they have looked into and decided that they want, if that is a thing that you can do.
Yeah, and honestly, like, when I got you the S-Curve, I was like, I think this is going to work well for her body. Also, she's a sex toy nerd, and it's her brand colors, so she'll just be happy to own it. Like, so there was a level of, like, this very well might not work for her body, but the money I'm spending on it is worth how excited you'd be about the color and having it in your collection.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I did plan for failure in that.
Yeah, and I ended which up I think loving is
kind
it.
Of important.
It was, I think, my most used dildo of 2017, because I kept a fucking orgasm spreadsheet, so I know stuff like that.
Sounds right. Yep.
Yep. I also think, in terms of, like, figuring out what kinds of things someone might want, taking them to a sex shop earlier in the year at some point can be good, because you can just sort of conversationally look around and, like, see what's drawing their attention, see what they say things about, see what they seem to return to over and over again. And you can also kind of just casually bring up the subject of sex toys in like random conversation and kind of see what sorts of things they bring up as something that they're interested in, and then use that information later.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone ever bought you a sex product that was really bad or weird?
I don't think so. I haven't gotten many sex products as gifts, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm rather intimidating to buy for because I have so much.
Yeah.
I think you and my ex are the only people that have ever, like, bought me sex-related stuff, and y'all were both quite good at it. Because y'all both know your shit about sex toys and me, so.
That is important, yes.
Yeah.
I, one time for Valentine's Day, when I had a long-term boyfriend, my dad bought me a little pair of fuzzy handcuffs. I guess he just, like, saw them in probably a dollar store, honestly, and gave them to me as, like, what he thought was a funny gift. And, like, I did laugh. Like, it was kind of funny, but also it was kind of uncomfortable. And also they were, like, very, very tiny, like, seemingly not made for adult size wrists. So I would never use them. But every time I looked at them after that, I was kind of, like, reminded that my dad is, like, a pretty chill person, so that was good in a way.
I had an ex's parent do that too. I, like, just remembered, like, as you were telling the story.
Another weird thing I was given was, I went to a sex industry event one time, and in the swag bag was a bunch of condoms, which is pretty common, but they were all, like, extra large size condoms, and they were all expiring the following month. So it was kind of like a dare.
I had
so kind of a fun, exciting challenge in that way, but I did not use them.
Our mutual friend C once gave me, mm-hmm. it wasn't really a gift, they just had them, but like 180 condoms that expired in like 2 months or something. And I Jesus. Was like, I appreciate you, but like, you have very high expectations for me, my friend.
So, is there a gift that you could get someone that's, like, a sexy gift that would be a good bet for, like, just about anyone? I have some potential ideas, but I'm wondering if you do.
My go-to recommendation for people who came into the store when they didn't know what to get was to buy a gift card from us and then go and buy a gift card from their favorite restaurant or bar and get... a massage candle from us and put it all in a little package and say, here, I bought you a date night. And then go out together to pick out a toy that you can use together and then go back and use it that night.
Yeah.
After you've had like a drink or two at the bar.
Yeah. And I would add, like, if you're giving a gift to someone who's like maybe going to be intimidated by the idea of like buying sexy things or has never really done it before, you could provide them with like a few potential ideas or suggestions. I think gift card is generally the way to go. I was going to say, I think most people would get good mileage out of, like, lube, like a good quality lube. What kind you get for them is going to depend on what kinds of purposes you think you're going to use it for. But I think sort of, like, a nice quality thick water-based or a good silicone-based are probably, like, pretty good bets for most people.
Yeah.
I would go silicone based if you think they're going to use it mostly externally, like on penises or clits. And I prefer water based generally for internal, but you know, it's a personal preference thing.
Yeah. I think not going to work for everybody, but like there, if you're like your heart's set on a vibrator, I would go like Jeju Mimi kind of toy because it's got a pretty wide range of vibrations. That was my, when people came in and said, I want to spend money, but I want to get my first vibrator, that was always the one I sold. Because it's got the broad flat side and the more, like, contoured side that's going to have more pinpoint. Not as pinpoint as some stuff, but... and it's got a relatively rumbly motor, and it's just good quality and not, like, ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, I also often recommend the Magic Wand Rechargeable to folks if they're, like, not really sure what to get someone. It's a little bit expensive for a gift that you're not sure is going to land well, but, like, part of why it works well for that is because even if they don't like it as a sex toy, it is a great back massager and feels good on a lot of different areas of the body. Yeah. You can even put, like, massage oil on it and use it to, like, give them a nice sexy massage, which is, like, something a lot of people would appreciate, you know, so that's nice. What would you recommend getting for someone who maybe is kind of like us and has tried it all and is kind of jaded about sex stuff and, like, wants something new or unusual?
Well, okay, on the one hand, people like us who have tried all of the things are generally sex nerds, so I like to go to, like, the gift section on Smitten Kitten's website or, like, Etsy or whatever and find a bunch of, like... pins and cards and patches and all kinds of weird sex shit. Like, I got you the magic wand pipe. And, like...
I love it.
Yeah. So, like, someone who has tried a million sex toys would probably appreciate, like, sex toy adjacent gifts. Even though that's not what you were asking, but...
That makes sense. Yeah, I went to the... I think it was Good Vibes in Boston. And they had a bunch of cute little, like, enamel pins. And I got the one that's, like, it's a heart and it has an Enjoy 11 in it.
Yeah.
And it makes me so happy.
I also, like, look to, like, artisan stuff. Like, stuff on Etsy or whatever. And you want to know what you're looking for when you're doing that. But you can get some really cool, like, artisan leather or, like, handcrafted, like, fantasy toys and things along those lines.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, like things off the beaten path, because there are a lot of companies that come up again and again at the big stores, like over and over again, that you've seen everywhere. And if you can go to even like a slightly more niche shop, like I'm thinking of like Leatherman in New York.
Yeah.
And places like that are Square Peg. A little bit like, right, like toys that you don't see everywhere at like Babeland and Good Vibes. It might have also like unusual impact toys and like strange kink stuff. And that stuff is like harder to find and can be even like one of a kind sometimes. So that's good stuff for somebody who has it all.
Yeah. Also something that is just like significant to your relationship. Mm-hmm. Right. Like when I got you that S curve, it was mm-hmm. like your blog colors and that's why I got it. And yeah. also because it would probably work for your body. But, like, mm-hmm. there was something, you know, about you that was relevant to that toy. Beyond just, yeah. it'll feel good on your bits.
I can't remember whether I got you or just thought about getting you this. but I saw at one point, like, impact toy, maybe a flogger that was in the Hufflepuff colors.
You did not get me that.
Oh my god. Well, now I look like a jackass.
No, I have, but I do have a Hufflepuff paddle that my ex
yes,
got me.
Exactly. Yeah. I wanted to compliment your collection. But yeah, like,
No, that's really cool though.
Yep, whoops.
That's alright. I don't know how to, well, I can kind of throw a flogger. But there's no room to throw a flogger. I live in New York.
Yep, true. I'll also say, like, even though I am a sex nerd and a sex toy nerd and have, like, a million sex toys, there are still, like, some items that have been on my wish list for a super long time, mainly because they're really expensive or they're hard to get. Like, something from Crystal Delights or something from New York Toy Collective. Like, these are things that, like, are expensive to have shipped to me and are expensive to begin with. So, like, maybe there's something that they've wanted for a long time but, like, haven't quite wanted to get for themselves, which is, like, kind of what gift-giving is at its best sometimes, is, like, the thing that wouldn't have occurred to them to get for themselves or that they wouldn't have felt able to get for themselves. If you're able to get that for them, that can be really nice.
Yeah.
A couple more hypotheticals about different types of people and what kinds of gifts you should get them. What would you recommend for someone who is, like, getting into a new kink?
I mean, I would see if there's a toy bag guide for that kink. Or whatever the other, like, you know. Toy bag guide is my go-to because they have a ton of them on, like, really specialized kinks. And they're these mm-hmm. tiny little books that make, like, great little stocking stuffers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I would look for that or, like, some other book related to it. Or look into, like, classes in the area or Kink Academy membership. Like, some resource for them to learn more about this thing that they're interested in.
Yeah. Kink Academy membership is so great. And my partner bought one for himself recently. And it's so fun because we'll, like, watch the videos together and learn things that we then get to try together. And it is, like, such a fun couple's gift.
Yeah.
I would say in general, especially if it's a kink that you personally don't know a lot about, it's really good to go find the places where people with that kink are discussing it online, whether that's FetLife or Reddit or Twitter, and see what the people who are into it use in terms of tools and paraphernalia. Because, like, if you just go to a sex shop and are like, I'm trying to get into rope bondage or wax play, like, depending on the level of the sex shop, they might give you, like, super beginner stuff that, like, maybe the people who are actually really into that kink would say is too beginner or isn't high quality enough or whatever. So you want to talk to the people who, like, have been doing it a while and know what they're talking about and have, you know, preferences, and do your research and get them something that is going to last and will be good quality if you can. Like, for example, if someone's trying to get into bondage, you probably don't want to get them metal handcuffs. Like, you don't want to get anyone metal handcuffs, really. Like, they're widely considered not safe and inadvisable, but they are still sold at sex shops. And, like, when I was in sex toy retail, a lot of people really wanted them, even though yep. I would steer them away from those. So, like, if you do some research for 5 minutes and reading the things that people who are into bondage have written about bondage, you'll learn pretty quickly, like, what is and isn't cool to use.
Yeah.
A listener wanted to know, they're looking for a not-too-expensive harness to give to a FTM friend. I actually don't know, friend or partner, I'm not sure. I didn't write down the tweet.
the Rodeos.
Yes, So I used to pronounce this brand Rodeo H, and I actually do still say it that way out loud when I'm talking to people about it, because otherwise they just think I mean the word rodeo. But yeah, they make those harnesses that are like boxer briefs or just like briefs, and they are super cute. They don't have an interchangeable or like a O-ring that you can switch out. So they're a little more limited in terms of like the sizes of dildos you can use. There is a little bit of stretch on the O-ring, but like it pretty much has to fit it. So
you also want to be careful with sizing for them too. Mm-hmm. Like for the person, you want them to fit snugly. Otherwise your dick will be all over the place.
Not a good look when your dick's all over the place.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like those a lot, too. They also have, like, femmier ones now, which is nice, because, like, I get a lot of questions from, like, women who want to peg their partners and are looking for something a little more feminine, and, like, it's nice to have a less expensive option on the market for that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question for you. What do you do if someone gets you a sex product as a gift that you hate?
Who is this person?
I don't know. Could be anyone.
Okay. Totally depends on who this person is.
Yeah.
I mean, so if they're a person that is going to expect to possibly use it with you, I think honesty is your best kind of course with that. And just, you know, you don't have to be like, this is garbage. Why'd you give this to me? But you can be like, oh, I don't know if this will work for me for XYZ reasons. You're not gonna super be able to return it or anything, which is why we don't recommend getting sex toys for people you don't know super well. But yeah, and then re-gift it to a friend, someone like, I don't know if your friendships are like mine, but you probably know someone that wants one.
Yeah, I have a local kinky trading group on Facebook that I'm a member of, people will post like sex toys if they're like sterilizable, and we'll try to trade them for like either other sex toys or like booze or weed or subway tokens. It's great. I'm gonna do that with so much of my collection soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was, I think the last time that this happened was like quite a while ago, because like most people I've dated in the past few years have known what my deal is and have not tried to buy me sex products. But when I was like 16, my partner at the time bought me a Vibe, and like she basically bought it because she liked the aesthetic. It was like this like long purple dildo or vibrator with like rhinestones around the dial. Uh-huh. And she just thought for me it was like a cute looking thing. And like it was cute. The motor was like not great, and like the shape was not ideal for me. And I think like what I learned from that experience was like, when I did mention to her, because she asked me, of course, like if I liked it and stuff, when I did mention to her that like wasn't my favorite vibe, I was like very clear to emphasize that like it had nothing to do with like me not trusting her taste or like not liking her or not appreciating the sentiment of the gift. I really just tried to emphasize like that I did appreciate that she was like trying to give me this cute pleasure object, but you know, better luck next time, basically.
Yeah.
One last question about gifts before we talk about something else. Is there anything on your list that, like, you wish you could get as a gift this year?
Yes! I just saw it today! Yeah. Fuck, was it called? Gendercat? Yeah. I think the company's called Gendercat. They make these self-adhesive prosthetic packers that are customizable and gorgeous, and I want one. But I'm fairly certain I can't ask my father for a dick for Christmas. So, he's like, he's been nagging me for days for a Christmas list. And this is the first thing in like weeks that I've seen and been really excited about and been like, wow, I really want that and can't afford it. This list is going to my Nana. We can't. I can't. Nana, here are the exact specs for the dick I'm going to need you to buy for me. Thank you.
I was gonna say, like, that's the type of gift that, like, I don't think you should ever, like, buy someone something like that without consulting them, and, like, ideally having them, like, right beside you to, like, go through, because that's, like, super customizable, and, like, it's your dick, so, like, you're gonna want to, like, pick, you know, the right specs that you want.
Yeah.
You don't want to just, like, guess what someone wants their dick to look like.
Yeah. But what's amazing is this company has over it has, like, 100 different skin tones that you can get, and you order this, like, pack that you can, like, match the skin tone to yours, and that's free, and then you tell them what skin tone color you want. And they have you upload a picture of a dick that's, like, contrast that you like the way the skin tone changes, because it's not all one color, right? So you upload a picture of a dick that you like, and they kind of match the, like, color in relation to the one color that you picked.
That's so amazing.
I want it.
If any of you listeners are hearing this and being like, oh my god, I have to have one, I will put the link in the show notes. So look at that on your podcast app, or you can go to thedildorks.com and find this episode on there, and there will be a link in there.
And the base price is $180. And then they have various add-ons. They actually have an add-on. They call it Amazeballs, which I love. but they actually fill the scrotum with, like, a coconut oily liquid and have free-floating balls in it so that they feel like scrotum and testicles. It's an extra $150, and your boy ain't got that kind of money, but it's really cool. And you get to choose, like, firmness, so you can get ones that you can kind of pack and play with, or you can get ones that are, like, firm like an erection, or you can get, like, super soft packers. Really cool. I want it. I'm really excited about it.
They are beautiful. Yeah, I looked at them today when you sent me that link, and I was like, God, I really like dicks.
And they're self-adhesive. I don't need to wear underwear with them. They just stick to me.
Mm-hmm.
So excited. All right, what do you want for Christmas, Kate?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting anyone to actually get me this, but something that's been on my wish list for a super long time is a pink and blue dick from New York Toy Collective. I actually don't think I own anything from New York Toy Collective, and they make amazing stuff, but they happen to make a bunch of dildos in my two favorite colors, pink and blue, like beautiful shades. And I'm thinking a lot about, like, femcocks recently, because I'm doing a lot more pegging than I've ever really done in my life before. And my harness is pink leather. And my partner has been saying he wants something a little bit bigger than the Godemiche Ambit that I've been using, which I love because it's pink glitter. So I was eyeing the New York Toy Collective Carter.
Oh, the Carter?
I think the Shiloh is actually on the smaller side of what we're looking for. Yeah, I think the Carter is, like, the next step up.
Okay, because Carter's and 2 and Shiloh's 1.5. What's Ambit?
Yeah. The Ambit, I think, is 1.5.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we want to do the Carter, also because I think it would feel really good on my G-spot. I've heard excellent things, and it is beautiful. Like, that's the kind of thing that, like, even when I'm having a really good money month, when I look at the totals on that, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just don't feel like I deserve a dick that expensive, you know?
Yeah.
I gotta believe in myself more, I guess, but, like, there is a part of me that's just like, I'm not worth dick that good. I don't know.
But, like, you are, though.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Do you remember when we tried to buy one of those and the person selling them, like, completely didn't understand that we were trying to buy it?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, can I have... Because, well, to be fair, she wasn't really selling it.
Yeah.
She was presenting and just happened to have all of them, and we were like, right, but can I have that, though?
It was the exact one that I wanted, and I don't remember quite how I phrased it, but I think I was like, where can I get one of those? Because I really want that exact one. And I was kind of expecting her to be like, oh, well, you can just buy this off me. And she was like, you can buy it online.
Yeah. And, like, to be clear, this was a person who, like, this wasn't just some rando that we were trying to buy her dick. Like, this person worked for New York Toy Collective. Yes. And, like, had a bunch of New York Toy Collective products. And we were like, well, like, can I have that one?
Yeah. Yeah. Because the shipping is, like, half the issue.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything is so expensive to ship to Canada. Yeah. I just want a beautiful dick. Yeah. Come on. So that's enough about gifts. I'm tired of talking about gifts. I've done all my shopping. I'm just like, fuck this.
I've done none of my shopping, so this is just stressing me out.
It's okay. You've got time.
The only presents I've bought are for people that I'm not supposed to buy presents for. So.
Nice. Yep. Killing it.
Yep.
Good job.
On a roll.
So, before we wrap up, we did want to talk a little bit about kind of like tips for coping with going home for the holidays, etc., when you're a queerdo or kinky or poly or trans or whatever it may be. We did a whole episode about this last year. It's called Holigays, which is just a terrible title. But if you scroll back, you'll be able to find it. And we talked about this kind of stuff. But Bex, do you have any words of wisdom for our listeners who might be feeling kind of daunted about going home for the holidays?
Oof. No, man, like, I wish I had something fucking optimistic to say or whatever, but, like, I'm staring down the barrel of a not great family holiday, so, like, I know a lot of other folks are too, but, like, it's a day, and it's hard, and you have other people that care about you if your family isn't showing up. If your biological family isn't showing up. You've got family, and there are plenty of other people out there who take care of you.
Yeah, I really liked your advice last year about if your family's just doing a bunch of whack shit, maybe there's somebody you could sort of live text updates to, or you could just do that on Twitter, because, like, I have started doing that a little bit when I go to family events that I'm finding difficult for whatever reason, and it does make it tolerable in a way because it gives you a degree of distance where it's almost like you're, like, watching a reality show or something instead of, like, existing in your own goddamn life.
Yep. Yeah, I find that. And as you're communicating it to someone, you have to find the entertaining pieces of it, right? You have to find the way to frame it that is funny or engaging or interesting, and through processing it that way helps you contextualize it in that way as well.
And it's always good to think about, like, what balance you personally are prepared to strike between, like, calling out shitty family members when they say shitty things and just kind of staying quiet and keeping the peace, because, like, there are certain issues that I really feel I need to speak up about, like, when my family occasionally says whorephobic stuff, especially with, like, what's going on with Sesta Foster right now, like, I really feel the need to speak up and say something about that. And I don't always necessarily say something that outs me as having done some forms of sex work, but I often do try to, like, calmly and gently sort of interrogate the lines of thinking that they're going down and kind of just be like, like, what would be so bad about trading sex for money? Like, you know, capitalism, we all trade labor for money. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And just stuff like that, where I maybe try to, like, dismantle things just a little bit. And you don't always want to be confrontational. You don't always feel safe to be confrontational. And that's fine. But I find it kind of empowering to do that when I'm able to. And sometimes it does lead to productive conversations.
Yeah, and what I like there is the way you just kind of raise the question, because I find that really valuable, too, of just, like, or sometimes just when someone makes a shitty joke, falling back on the, like, I don't get it. What? I don't.
Why is that funny?
What?
Yeah.
And then just let them figure it out. There, like, there is so much power in, like, coming from someone who talks way too damn much, there is so much power in, like, that moment of silence where, like, you just wait, and they'll say something else, because they don't like it either. You just gotta wait it out.
Yeah.
So just, they, you know, when people say something horrible, you just kind of look at them. Wait. They'll get there.
Yeah. I always kind of like that I'm known as the weird sex person in my family, because it in some ways gives me a measure of privilege, because, like, they already know that about me. They already kind of think that. So if I need to call someone out for being homophobic, like, I'm probably in a better position to do that than one of maybe my cousins who's closeted, perhaps, or, like, someone who just for various other reasons doesn't feel safe to do that. And I am really glad to be able to do that when I can.
Yeah, also, if you can enlist a buddy for different, like, family events, especially if they don't fall specifically on a holiday. I recently went with a friend of mine to a holiday party, a Friendsgiving that they had been invited to. And I've never seen this many straight people in a room before. I didn't know there were this many straight people. I think I met the same, like, tall, thin, blonde woman. I think there were five of her there. I met another Stacy or Lynn or Karen. Like, I couldn't... It was a whole thing. But it was really great to, like... We got that almost anthropological feel, right? Where we were, like, connecting with the two of us around this weirdness. And just watching... watching straight people get drunker and messier. Because queers are, like, baseline level messy. Like, we just kind of accept that we're like this. But these were, like... straight people with money. And I just got to watch them slowly get drunker. And I just had someone with me to, like, connect on the, like, this is a weird situation that we're in. This is a, like, somewhere that we don't totally feel comfortable, but I had that other anchor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, the evening was great. Like, we had fun. It was just not a space I expected myself to spend a Saturday night.
Yeah, even in terms of just being an introvert, I found it so helpful to have, like, one person who I feel very close to with me, if possible, and usually it's my brother, and, because, like, there's something so exhausting to me about having to follow a whole giant group discussion and having to, like, be engaged with that discussion, especially because at holiday time, those tend to be, like, pretty, like, surface-level discussions, like, not really personal or meaningful stuff a lot of the time, so I find that really draining after a while. So I would love to have these, like, whenever I would go to a family holiday party, I would have these sort of, like, little sidebar conversations with my brother about, like, you know, real stuff, and he's a person who I know really well and feel really comfortable with, so, like, that kind of, like, was, like, a mini recharging session. Yeah. I didn't really even need to step out of the room and do an actual, like, introvert recharge, although those are great too. But having, you know, these little interactions with someone I love and feel really close to was very helpful.
Yeah.
And, like, on the topic of those introvert recharges, those can also be really good when you're, like, upset about something that has just happened and you need to process or you need to take your emotions down. And, like, I used to get really nervous about stepping out of the room or going up to my bedroom or going into the bathroom for a while or going outside, because I would always just be like, people are going to notice immediately and be like, where is she? And, like, what's she doing? But actually, like, people usually, like, especially at big parties, like, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
And if you can even take 5 minutes to just, like, breathe and, like, process what's going on, I find that so helpful.
I love going for walks. If there's a pet, go walk it. Or
if you need to go to the store to pick up something for the meal, you could volunteer to be that person.
Yep. Or, you know, I've done the, you know, oh shit, I forgot something, let me run to the corner store, or let me, honestly, like, parts of my family also just know, like, I've been vocal enough about it to, like, closer parts of my family where I'll just be like, I just need to go for a walk, I'll be back in a minute, I'll just put my headphones in and go, and even just listening to, like, two or three songs, like, and then coming back and, like, being in it again.
Yeah, in dire situations, I have sometimes faked getting a phone call. Because there's something about that, especially with, like, older adults. Like, they just respect the fuck out of getting a phone call. Like, that's, they're like, oh, that's valid. She's talking on the phone. I won't bother her.
Yeah.
And so I just, and if I come back, I'll have some sort of cover story. Like, I was like, I'll be like, it was my editor for a thing I just wrote. Or, like, it was
your editor called you on Christmas Day.
That's always my go-to, because it makes me feel so important, and I can think of fewer than five times that an editor has ever called me, but whatever.
I always have, my go-to is always a work emergency, but to be fair, there usually are work emergencies, so.
Yeah.
And, like, also, what's handy about that is if there wasn't actually a work emergency, I can just substitute in whatever the last one was, because it was recent enough, and I can tell that story and bitch about it.
Yeah. I also think, like, you and me both, I think, would be quite comfortable with each other using each other as an excuse if need be. Like, if I was having, like, an actual emotional situation at a family party and had to fake a phone call, I could come back and be like, sorry, Bex was upset about something.
Yeah.
And, like, I know you would be cool with that, and I know everybody else would be totally cool with that, so it would be great.
Yep.
Well, folks, happy holidays. We're going to be doing a few more episodes before the year is up. And we'll say this again before the year is over, but thanks for being with us this year and listening, and I really hope that your December is great. Earnest statements.
Yes.
Yay.
Woo. Yeah, I like you said that, and I was like, I'm supposed to say something genuine. I don't... my word, like... my words just ran out.
Uh-huh. That's fine.
I left... You know how you hit that moment, though, where you're just like, oh, I'm done. Yeah,
that's me at every holiday party,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at. I left Philly this morning and did not sleep much the last two nights, so... Mm-hmm. I'm like, all of a sudden, I was just like, oh, it's 10 o'clock. Jesus.
Yeah, I had a situation recently where I was so introvert overwhelmed that I literally hid under a blanket. And it was so fucking good. It was just exactly what I needed at that moment.
That's delightful.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dildorks. Happy holidays. Have a good December and rest of your 2018. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. I've been doing a bunch of stuff lately. I have a new piece up on the walrus.ca. They did a sex ed series, and I wrote a big piece about asexuality and how it's extremely underrepresented in sex ed in Canada and, like, pretty much worldwide. That's at thewalrus.ca. I also just guested on our pal Brent's podcast, Trends Like These, this week, talking about the recent story about how Tumblr has decided to ban porn, which is really sad. So you can download that episode and listen to me and Brent chatting about kind of the implications and fallout of that and what's up with that. Where is your stuff, Brent?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together we're the Dildorks. We're at the Dildorks on Twitter and Instagram and at TheDildorks.com. You can also find us by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. While you're there, rate and review us. Brings us up in the charts and makes us easier for other sex nerds to find. If you want to support us by tossing a couple of bucks our way, you can go to Patreon.com/TheDildorks. Get yourself exclusive perks and help us keep doing what we're doing.
Thank you so much to Protodome for doing our theme song. It's called I Want You in My Bedroom. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. She's at Starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
Bye.
Do you think they'll be mad if they can hear cat purring in the background?
No, it'll sound like a vibrator.
It's soothing.
Yeah.
It's ASMR.
Uh-huh.
She missed me, and I love her.
That's cute. I should just turn on my vibrator in solidarity.
She's just, look.
Aw, what a cutie.
Can I tell you a sex thing?
Sure.
I came so hard recently that I, like, had my hands over my eyes and was like, I can't move them. There's too much else happening in the world that I was, like, pushing my hands down over my eyes, like, to get as black as possible. I was like, I'm just gonna lay here like this. It's fine.
Nice.
Yep.
That's the dream.
Yep.